Brethren, we are going often through crisis, sometimes personal crisis, and right now it looks like the whole world is going through a global crisis, and they all affect us in different ways. Even though everybody, almost everybody, I would say, is probably affected by the global crisis with Corona, everybody is affected somewhat differently, some people more, some people less. The way it has affected me mostly is by basically feeling like I'm mourning for the loss of my civil liberties, not being able to travel, not visiting family in Germany or Canada anymore, at least for the time being, those kinds of things. But everybody is dealing with it differently. Everybody is affected by it differently. We also don't have just global crisis where everybody is affected. Every one of us sometimes has to deal with a very personal crisis. And in general terms, the weaker we are physically, that is our health, mentally, spiritually, or economically, the more we can be affected by a crisis as we can see all around the world. Now, how a crisis affects us and how we deal with it is what I want to address today, and primarily the mental and spiritual aspect of it, of course. A crisis can give us feelings of overwhelm, anxiety, disappointment, sadness, anger, frustration, and even affect us in a way that we become selfish, our ego grows, and we are worried, and we start to have a scarcity mindset. But we are encouraged by the Bible to develop positive feelings, as we heard at the beginning of the feast. And this was prepared before you heard the other sermons, so this is, this was not planned. But we are encouraged, again, by the Bible to develop positive feelings of joy, of optimism, power, peace, hope, enthusiasm, confidence, and generosity. Again, as was already pointed out in some ways. So, how can we have more of those positive feelings, and why is it that important? So I will talk about practical, actionable steps that will help us to deal successfully with a crisis or challenging emotions in our everyday life. I want to address the root cause of why we react with negative feelings versus positive feelings when we face challenges in life. First of all, what is extremely important, that we all have a vision. And our vision for life must not only include all the stuff that we want to do, but also our vision in life must include how we want to feel and how we want others to feel. You may be thinking, I thought you were an engineer, a rational kind of a guy, task-oriented. Where does this touchy-feely stuff come from all of a sudden? Well, where does that come from? Why is it important? It's important because God says so in His Word. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, we read, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, a negative feeling, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." All feelings of a positive, strong, powerful mindset. In 1 John 4, verse 18, we're told, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love." When it says that fear involves torment, we realize that all around the globe nowadays. Fear is our greatest slave master. Fear is being used all over the world to enslave people. 11 years ago, I became a citizen of the United States, and I had to learn a phrase where it came from, "Give me liberty or give me death." That seems to be completely out of our culture, this kind of mindset anymore. Fear is controlling us. In Galatians 5, verse 22, we read about positive emotions. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. If we sense those emotions, if we have this kind of a mindset, that gives us a much more powerful state of mind than if we have negative feelings and emotions. In John 14, verse 27, we heard this already. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it to gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And one scripture that we're all very familiar with, but somehow we don't consider it maybe as strongly as we should. And that is in Matthew 6, starting in verse 23. I'm sorry, in verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. Jesus Christ says here, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Do not worry. Well, sometimes we say, well, that's easier said than done. Well, what is not easier said than done? Everything is easier said than done. Does that mean we don't do it? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of more value than they? And now here is the strategy behind this. Here's the key. Number one reason why we must not worry. Jesus Christ gives it to us. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? He's basically telling us worrying is completely irrational because it doesn't do you any good, period. Now, if the rational thought that we must not worry, the commandment, you shall not worry, because it's not rational, if that's not enough, can we think of it this way? Jesus Christ commands it. So when we are tempted to worry, can we just tell ourselves, I'm being disobedient to Jesus Christ. I'm violating one of the commandments that he has given us. He says, do not worry. And if it comes directly out of his mouth, do we take it as a commandment? I mean, I must admit that for me was very strong. Rationally, I struggled with that still a little bit, even though I knew it wasn't rational. But when I realize, when I worry, I'm disobeying Jesus Christ, then I say, okay, listen, and don't worry. So, when we worry, of course, you know, we are in a very relatively low emotional state, mental state, and therefore we cannot do what we are expected to do, and I'll go into that a little bit later. Another point, a scripture that gives us a hint that we should be of a positive state of mind and have positive emotions is in Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What does that mean? We have put on his way of thinking, his mindset. And that means when we are repenting, that it means to repent means to change the way we think, to change it towards the way Jesus Christ and his Father thinks, then we are changing our mindset to much more positive thoughts. And actually, what neuroscience has shown us now, our thoughts actually change our brain. They change our DNA. Now, one of the really good scriptures that helped me a lot when I went through a crisis myself, a personal crisis, when I lost my job many years ago in 2009. And I was without a steady income for 4.5 years. And as you can imagine, I was quite worried. I never had any economic worries before. I grew up, my dad was working for the government. My granddad was working for the government, and I was an engineer working for a large German, very stable corporation. I never thought I'd lose my job. I never thought this would ever become an issue for me, economic security. But there I was. I lost my job. And this is the scripture that I went to every day, sometimes several times a day, in order to deal with the whole situation. And it is in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, starting in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. And here's the key word. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in jail. Remember that. He was in jail when he wrote this. And so by thanksgiving, that is a very, very crucial point here. Because if you struggle with anxieties and worries and so on, and depression, you have to focus on this word, thanksgiving. If you want to turn sadness and overwhelm and all this into joy, we have to become more thankful. The height of your joy is determined by the depth of your gratitude. The height of your joy depends on the depth of your gratitude. You can write, if you struggle with that, and I sometimes struggle with that, I have to start writing things I'm grateful for. And when I write down 25 things that I'm grateful for, guess what happens? I experience joy, no matter what happens. Nancy is originally from Cambodia. She's a very joyful woman today. She lost two sisters and her father to starvation in Cambodia. Has any one of us gone through something like that? What is our excuse for not being joyful? We can do it. It's possible. There are people who have proven it. If we have the vision, if we make it intentional, that we make a decision to be joyful, that we make a decision to have a positive frame of mind. And when we read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, think of it this way. When you have a very negative attitude or mindset or feelings, you feel bad, you feel sad, you feel overwhelmed, you feel nervous, you feel impatient, and all those things. How much can you really exercise what we are told in 1 Corinthians 13? How much can you express love the way it's described in 1 Corinthians 13, 3 through 7? And let's read through that. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Do you think we're much better equipped when we're in a strong mental frame of mind, when we have a positive mental frame of mind? It's much, much easier to exercise love, to be patient, not to be short with people. That's why it is so important. And the second element that, of course, that Paul is talking about in Philippians here, by prayer and supplication, make your requests made known. Now, that requires faith. It requires personal faith. And the only way we can change our mind, the only way we can change our thinking is if we make our faith very, very personal. Not something abstract, not some religion we are part of or anything like that. know something very, very personal, that God is involved in your life and you can bring everything to Him, everything that you need. But without that faith, it's not possible. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And I'll go through this a little bit through some slides. I have a lot more slides than I'll be able to show. I realize time is running away from me. But and this is fairly new. I normally don't do PowerPoint slides during a sermon. But some of these slides may help us a little bit to understand what I'm talking about. If we can switch it over. Okay. Control 8?
No, just F8.
No, wait a minute. There we go. Sorry about that. There we go. We got it. There we go. Sorry about that. Okay. So basically, the reason why it's important to have the right feelings is when we look at the top, feelings, the way we feel, affect the way we act, and then that affects the results in our lives. And it really all starts out with our beliefs. When we have depending on our beliefs, we ask ourselves the right questions, and that lead to the right thoughts, and that in turn to the right feelings. And I'll show that as an example. For when we start out with negative feelings, let's say we are overwhelmed, and that leads to bad actions. We get nervous, we get impatient, sometimes we don't do anything, and then we don't get results, and that reinforces our beliefs that, oh, well, I can't do it, and it's too much, and I'm freaking out. And then we ask ourselves the question, what's going to happen if things don't work out? And then it leads to all kinds of negative thoughts, which then generate the negative feelings. So it's a cycle we can get through. And I'll show some real examples there in a minute. Negative feelings could be, they really provide us with a low level of energy. They make us we can be anxious, overwhelmed, fearful, pessimistic, depressed, impatient, discouraged, and so on. Angry, those negative feelings generate a low energy state of mind. And then that leads to bad actions. We may have little or no effort, or we get into destructive behavior, we get into distraction, escape, we watch too much Netflix, or drink too much, or eat too much, or whatever, you know. But usually it doesn't generate a lot of good deeds. And then we get poor results. We don't grow. We don't grow spiritually. We don't grow in personally. We don't produce good fruit. That means we're not being a light to the world. We are a poor role model then, and we achieve no goals, no dreams, and not much is accomplished. We just survive. So that's the negative feelings. But where do they all come from? Look at the bottom. They start out with false beliefs. And then that leads to bad questions we ask and results in negative thoughts. And negative thoughts generate the negative feelings, give us the negative feelings. False beliefs like, nobody loves me. I can't do much. There's never enough. The world is out to get me. It's all vanity anyway. There's no purpose, there's no hope, there's no future. It's all about just let me survive. I can't be forgiven would be a false belief. And sometimes some people still believe that their sins are so great that they can't be forgiven. There's no sin that cannot be forgiven that you have committed unless, you know, you've committed the unpardonable sin. Or people say, I'm not good enough. A lot of false beliefs. And they lead to disempowering questions. How can I survive? Who's out there to get me today? What's their hidden agenda? And so on and so forth. Another one, what are they going to think of me? That's a very, very bad question that we ask ourselves. What are they going to think of me? Who cares? Really? Who cares? We need to always ask ourselves, what is God going to think of me? The question, what are they going to think of me, is based on pride. That's all. Now, if we have positive feelings, they lead to good actions, to good results, and they usually originate with the true beliefs. positive, empowering feelings that we already heard at the beginning of the feast. Joy, courage, confidence, peace, hope, optimism. They lead to high levels of energy and power. But where do they come from? These are just my feelings. I can't do anything about it. Well, we actually can. The real reason why it's so good to have these positive feelings is because they lead to positive and good actions. We express positive emotions, we do good work, we do things right, we do things good quality, we don't take shortcuts if we're not nervous or impatient, we make the right effort and we just do the best we can. And it leads to good results, good fruit, we become the light to the world, we become positive role models, we have some forward momentum and we have fulfillment in life. And again, where do those positive emotions come from? They come from true beliefs. And that's where we have to go to. In order to generate good feelings, positive feelings, we have to start out with true beliefs. Positive beliefs. Faith. I am loved. I'm capable and good enough. I'm good enough to do whatever God expects me to do. God doesn't expect me to do more than what I'm equipped to do. I heard somebody say one time, God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. So trust in that. Believe in that. God always provides. He always will. I know, for 4.5 years without a steady income, he always provided. Even when we were down to our last $200, we never had to declare bankruptcy. Out of nowhere, something came up. And there is enough time. There's also always enough time for what God expects from you. God doesn't expect you to do more than he's giving you time to do. So if it doesn't get done today, there is another day tomorrow. So again, where does it come from? We have these positive beliefs, so they lead to empowering questions that say, what does God want me to do? What can I do? What's the best use of my time? What's my purpose or mission or calling? And these empowering questions lead to positive thoughts. I can serve and contribute. It gives me ideas. These questions generate ideas on what I can do and ideas on what I may need to ask for. I may need to ask God for other people. Ideas on how I could serve my mission or what would serve my mission and ideas on how I can express love, kindness, and goodness. How intentional are we thinking about this? How much is it part of our vision in the morning when we get up? How am I going to show up in the world? How can I express love, kindness, and goodness today? We have to be intentional about it. An example of negative feelings, money worries, for example. What happened to the guy in the parable of the talent? He had worries that he was going to lose it all, whatever. Well, what was he doing? He was withholding. No fruit is produced when we withhold. The fear that there's not going to be enough, just have the scripture written down here. You can jot it down, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. That's the parable of the talents. And so that we ask ourselves, what if I lose it all? Oh, I may starve or whatever it is. When we have a positive, when we believe the right things, and we know what we read earlier in Matthew 6, God always provides. If we believe that true belief, then we can ask ourselves an empowering question. What is within my power to do today? Well, I can serve and contribute. The result is peace of mind, confidence. And as a result, because we have this peace of mind of confidence, we can do positive things. We can do our part. We do the best we can. And we will receive the blessings. We will get what we need. Another one, depression, I talked about it. When we have doubts. And look at it this way. Whenever we have negative feelings, look at it as sort of like the canary in the coal mine. It's a warning sign that maybe our beliefs are a little bit wrong. Maybe our faith is not where it needs to be. Then let's make the decision. We believe the truth. We believe in God. We believe in his promises. And when we make that shift and decide to believe the right things and to dismiss the wrong beliefs, that changes everything. Then we ask ourselves different questions, we get different thoughts, and our different thoughts lead to a different state of mind. I'll go there, make it positive here. You know, if we have the faith that always everything will work out for those who are called according to his purpose, we can ask ourselves, as I said before, what we can be grateful for, develop positive thoughts, as I read earlier in Philippians 4, and generate joy. And with that joy, we can serve and create with enthusiasm and be a light to the world. Another one, just the last example, if we feel overwhelmed and stressed, well, it leads to poor action. We hurry and we get things done and we get things done very quickly. But we forget what a man told me, one very, very successful businessman who started several businesses making, you know, tens of millions of dollars. He's a volunteer pastor also. And he said one time, a person to be loved is more important than a problem to be solved or a task to be completed. A person to be loved is more important than a task to be completed or a problem to be solved. If we have that frame of mind, we can deal with overwhelm and stress very differently. But it's really, the overwhelm and stress comes from the false belief that there's not going to be enough time is one of them, and the other one is, it's all up to me. It's all up to me. If I don't do it, nobody else does it. But it's very different when we believe that God always provides enough time, resources, and support to get done what he wants us to get done. And then we can ask ourselves, if we believe that, what matters most today? And focus on that. We can focus on priorities, and then we have a calm energy that gets things done well, gets things done patiently, and nobody gets hurt and offended in the process. Now, you may think, well, I believe all the right things, and I have positive feelings, and I do good things, and then it still doesn't work out. I get disappointed, or bad things happen. Well, that's where the right interpretation of the results come in. And the interpretation of the results depend on what kind of mindset we have. If we think, there's three different types of mindsets that people have. Some people think everything happens to me. They have a victim mentality. Woe is me. Everything's beyond my control. Whatever problems I have, it's just happened to me. I have nothing to do with it. I'm not responsible. The second one is everything happens by me. Well, they are people who get a lot of things done, but they get stressed out, become proud, and in the process, oftentimes, relationships are damaged. The third one is when we act with faith, when we say everything happens through me. I'm a tool in the hands of God. I have strong faith. My reliance in God gives me confidence and humility. I get more done with the help of God. I'm not damaging relationships in the process. And I'm not exhausted because I have help. Now, the one who says everything just happens to me, they said, well, Satan's attacking me. You know, I find it very interesting that often in religious circles, when things go wrong for people, when things go wrong for themselves, they say, oh, Satan's attacking me. When things go wrong for other people, oh, God is punishing them. When things happen to us, we all have to be introspective and think, is there a reason? What's the reason? We'll get into this in a moment here, in our next slide. But we must not cancel out our faith when things don't work out quite as well. We must not let the doubters, the haters, the old beliefs, the false beliefs, jealousy, competition, bruised ego, or whatever, or being too hard on ourselves. That's one of us. Germans are really good at that. We're way too hard on ourselves. What good does that do? When we fail on something, we get very hard on ourselves when we don't get things done quite the way we think they should be done. Are we treating our best friend that way? Would we do that? No, we would encourage him. So treat yourself the way you would treat your best friend. Encourage yourself and don't be too hard on yourself, because it really doesn't help you to raise your level of positive energy that yields to positive actions and good results. And on this slide, we can see how we can interpret negative things that happen to us or something that we may consider a failure, how we can deal with that. We can look at it in different ways. We can look at it as a learning process. We are not perfect. None of us are, and we never will be. So there's no use to pretend. Let's just grow and learn. Look at it as a learning process. Maybe there's a better way of doing things if things didn't work out. Or a redirection towards something better. Oh, I was so devastated when this girl that I was dating, you know, broke up with me. Well, it was a redirection towards something much, much better than sitting right there. It would have never happened if this quote-unquote failure did happen. Sometimes it's a correction. Maybe we are walking down the wrong path. Maybe we are not living the way God expects us to live. Maybe we are not paying attention to certain things in our life, to relationships, to our health, or our work, our finances, whatever it is. Maybe there's a correction that's necessary. But let's think about, what is it? What am I supposed to learn? That should always be the first question. Not, God, let this trial get over with quickly. No, God, what are you trying to teach me here? That's the number one question we need to ask first. And sometimes it's a setup. Sometimes, if I had not lost my job again a couple of years ago, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. God had something else in store. I'm working as an author and as a real estate investor and as a coach. Completely different, but I couldn't be happier than, you know, doing what I'm doing now. And here's the key. Again, we need to interpret everything that doesn't work out so smoothly through James 1. Verses 2 through 8, you know it all. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. We can only count it all joy when we consider these blessings, these four blessings, potential blessings in a trial or in a failure, when we see them as blessings when those things happen. And Romans 8:28, you know, all things work out for good to those who are called according to his purpose. And then we're told to be strong. And here it is. When we're told to be strong, how can we be strong when we feel down and weak? We make a decision to change our beliefs. We shift from the wrong limiting beliefs to the right true beliefs, to faith that God will take care of us, and all that will lead to our asking us right questions, developing the right thoughts. You know, our mind is like a search engine. If we ask the right questions based on the right beliefs, our mind automatically looks for the answers. And then positive thoughts come out. And if we think positively, automatically we generate positive feelings. So, in conclusion, brethren, the feast is a time to rejoice. If we do not feel like rejoicing, we now know that it is a decision about what we believe that we have to make. Now we know why it is impossible to please God without faith, because it affects everything. Let's use negative feelings as an indicator that we may have the wrong beliefs, that we lack in faith. In personal, very personal faith. Examine our beliefs, our faith, and then decide to trust and obey when Jesus Christ said not to worry. Let us develop the vision on how we want to show up in the world and make the decision necessary to make this feast look and feel to ourselves and to everybody else in the community like a feast of promise. And, as John Miller earlier said, let us be inspired and energized for the time after the feast.